Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. Johnny and Billy here talking about weird stuff, UFOs, near-death experience, Sasquatch, the Bermuda Triangle. I saw a show the other day. It was like talking about the possibilities of what could be causing any strange things going on.
You know, we've talked to people, and I've talked to people that have been in the Devil's Triangle, and you know, all kinds of strange things happen out there.
What do you think that is? What's going on?
Well, I think it's like a vortex. I think it's a magnetic thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an energy vortex. It's a place where a lot of different energy sources converge. I think it's natural. I don't think it's man-made. I think there are other similar places on Earth. And I think that you know, we have to understand that there's like a natural cause and effect for all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we like to think that they're, you know, weird, strange, magical. But if we stop and we look at it and we look at all the evidence and don't listen to those TV shows that try to explain it, because they're not, that's all dramatized stuff that's made up. But in reality, when we look at it, we look at why ships have gone down. There are weather vortexes in there. There are magnetic vortexes. There are energy vortexes. All of these things can affect airplanes with electronic devices, ships with electronic devices. It can affect the way people think. It can affect your brain, your electrical impulses in your brain. I mean, it really has an effect on you. And while all those things don't converge all at once, if you're there when they do, then you're going to be affected by it. But you might sail through the Bermuda Triangle and not experience anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like all other weather patterns and energy patterns on this planet, they change day to day. Now, you know, like I said, I live here at the beach, and right now it's cloudy and raining. It's a little stormy. But yesterday it was bright and sunny and warmer. So it was more pleasant to be outside. I was not affected by it. Versus today, if I go outside, I'm going to get wet. I'm going to be uncomfortable because it's a little cold out there. And it's windy and it's rainy. So I'm more apt to be affected by it today than I was yesterday. Well, the Bermuda Triangle is the same thing. You know, today it may be completely harmless, and tomorrow it could sink battleships.
You know, I'm starting to get some theories formulating in my brain, and I know it hurts, but you made a point about it being, what do you call it, a vortex.
Yeah.
Now, we've had Joe Hauser, who owns the Montana Vortex.
Right.
And all the
great
electric,
guy.
A lot of the electrical magnetic fields and this and that. And that could really mess with their instruments. But then, you know, you have like Dr. Matthew Johnson, the always outspoken. You know, he had that portal show up at his research area, his original research area. But with Adam Davies and John Carlson, two witnesses who didn't want to go on record with anything about it. They just would have rather that not happened at all because people kept asking him about it and wanting him to go on record. Finally, Adam Davies did go on record one time on one show. He talked about everything that happened.
But these things were real, and it changed my understanding of what the world might be. They're not Bigfoot in any way. Bigfoot, I think, is a real, let me say this, is a real flesh and blood creature. I think it's very rare. I'm interested in gathering scientific evidence for its existence. this was something completely different, yeah? Some sort of paranormal thing, I don't know what.
You know, he is a cryptozoologist, not just Sasquatch. I mean, he's going to ghost towns in Alaska that have been abandoned for no reason to camp there for a week to see what's going on. I mean, he does this, works with the Discovery Channel. I mean, this is his reputation, and he finally went on record about it. So maybe that's where some of these disappearances, for whatever reason, this portal opens up. Zoom, they go in. Okay, the portal's gone. And they're on the other side, wherever the other side may be. Okay, we know we saw a portal, according to Adam Davies. And I trust him. He has no reason to lie about something like this. And, you know, people have said it was a mass hallucination. And I don't know. What do you think of mass hallucinations?
Well, I certainly believe that they're possible. I think that if you have a group of people who are together, they're interested in finding or seeing the same thing, you know, we share this electrical connection, this energy connection. And yeah, you can have a group hallucination. You could have several people. You could probably even have 100 people share the same vision, the same hallucination. It's unlikely, but it can happen.
See, and that's the thing, is they weren't looking for portals. They were there for Sasquatch. Adam had kind of made a joke, or no, I think it was John, had made a joke because the Sasquatch at that time were being interactive, but they were too focused on this portal and the two little beings that came out of the portal that seemed rather aggressive towards them. It's like, hold on, Sasquatch, you know, I got to fight these portal guardians here, which was kind of funny, you know, because you take one, they're there for one weird thing, and then this other weird thing happens completely out of the blue.
It's their observation. It is, they saw what they saw, whether that was real or in their mind. We'll never know because they saw it. You know, as I get older, I see things and I swear to God that I saw something, but people around me saw something different. We oftentimes see what we want to see. If I went out in the woods looking for a portal, there's a chance I might find one. The question is, with the billions of acres of woods on this planet, how is it that you're in the right place at the right time? I'm not saying that doesn't happen, because it does. It's like seeing a UFO or seeing Sasquatch, but the question is, why are you there when this happened? And I think, again, it's that collective consciousness thing. Some people are more open to it. Some people are more aware of it, and you get called. I mean, I've done it. I've been basically kind of given mental instructions to go someplace or do something. I didn't understand why or, you know, even what was driving me to follow those instructions. When I got there, I saw things, I experienced things. It was generally good. I have a friend, I call him a friend, I don't see him very often, but he's somebody I care about, and he's a nice guy. If he calls me up and says, I want you to come speak to this group or that group or whatever, no matter what happens, I always say yes. No matter what I'm doing, no matter how I feel, I always say yes. Because every time I've said yes to him, something good always happens. Something unique always happens from doing what he asks me to do. I think that a lot of other people are that way too, that they may not be conscious of why they're doing something or why they're following a certain path, but I think that there's something that drives that, something that we're not necessarily consciously aware of.
Have you seen that show, Paranormal Caught on Camera?
No, I haven't.
I think it's on either Travel or True TV. Now, I was really stoked about this show, and I would recommend you... You need to answer that?
No.
Oh, okay. I would recommend you watch it, because it is entertaining, and some of the things seem pretty convincing. And I was convinced. I didn't notice any disclaimers at the beginning or the end. I was enjoying the show. I really liked the show. It appears that all they're doing is contacting people that have these various sightings and experiences and have posted their like cell phone clips on YouTube, and then they'll interview them via Zoom or Skype or whatever, and that's the show. The person, the witness, the experiencer explains, you know, why they were there, what they were doing, what happened, and you know, some post-event kind of opinions. Well, there was this one where these guys are in Tennessee in their car in this old war, this old Civil War battlefield that had some old historic cannons. It's dark out, they're in their car, and then they suddenly see this, and it shows you on TV, the this being looks like dressed in either Confederate or whatever Civil War army garb, walking around. He just all of a sudden appears and walks around these cannons, and it's like, oh my gosh, that is amazing. And even the guys are like, if we wouldn't have recorded this on our phone, I wouldn't believe it. So I went and looked for that original clip on YouTube, and I found it, and there is absolutely nothing. It's the same clip minus the ghost walking around the cannons. There's no ghost at all. And he even still says, gosh, I wouldn't have believed it unless we recorded it on our cell phone. And it just disappointed me. It broke my heart. And I remembered what you had said about sensationalizing TV and it's for entertainment. And I was entertained until I figured out it was just for entertainment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's for entertainment. And you have to understand, you know, when you have 30 minutes to present this information that they want to present and do it in a dramatic and entertaining fashion, there has to be some manipulation. They have to choreograph or script some of this stuff. It can't just be straight from the hip, because there's no way to put it together like that.
But there was absolutely no ghost in the original, but then you see the one on TV, and I mean, it is clearly there. It's clearly walking around. It fades in and fades out, and it's really spooky and creepy and fascinating.
Yeah.
But they don't disclose that.
Yeah. In fact, I was reading an article this morning about all of the reality shows and how they're not reality and what the producers do to manipulate things.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they have to make this dramatic and entertaining, because their whole purpose behind doing this is to get sponsors so that they can make money. So if it isn't dramatic and entertaining, the sponsors are not going to want it. And they have to come up with some way of validating it, even if that's not the truth. So the sponsors want something that's dramatic and entertaining and can kind of be semi-validated in some way, or at least to lead people down a path that they probably would have walked down anyway. And this is how they make their money. This is how they make the millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that they make for these things. And we have to understand that these reality shows make a lot of money. I mean, they're very, very profitable. And the people who star in them, some of the people, make a lot of money. The hosts and the regular guests.
Mm-hmm.
But the one-time guests usually don't get paid at all.
Right. They just get to be on TV.
They get to be on TV. It's called public domain. I mean, I've appeared on, I don't know how many dozen television shows and radio shows all over the world. And I've never once been paid. Not once. Oh, no, I take it back. I was paid once. I got $250. But if you have a story to tell and you're a private person and you're not a member of the Actors Guild or anything like that, that story isn't really worth anything, because it's called public domain. Anybody can access it, and if you're willing to tell it, then it becomes a public story, and they can take it and use it. So they don't sell your story. They just give access to it, and then sponsors sponsor it. And that's where the money comes from. By the way, I'm in a Netflix movie, and I didn't get paid for that either. So.
What's the movie called, so we can look for it?
I don't know. It's a.
You don't know the movie you're starring in?
No. It's actually a 4-part series, on consciousness, and I was on camera for about 45, 50 minutes, and I have no idea how much they'll use. It hasn't come out yet.
Oh,
it hasn't
yeah.
been released yet. We filmed last year. I expect it'll be out sometime later this year. It takes a long time to do these things because there's a lot of editing and putting things together.
You've been an editor yourself.
I have. I have edited hundreds and hundreds of videos. And I've sometimes made them look like something they're not.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When I used to film all the plays that the local high school did. And they did Aladdin 1 year. And so I did some special effects stuff to make it look like their magic carpet was flying. Now, they did this on a stage mm-hmm. where, you know, they had very few props even, you know, just enough to give you the sense of what the scene was. And they had this little magic carpet, and they would sit on it and pretend to fly away. And then the curtain would close, and they'd pick up their magic carpet and come out for the next scene. So what I did was I just did a little video magic, and I made their magic carpet fly. And so at the scene where they got on the magic carpet and we're going to fly into the next scene, I made the magic carpet fly off into the distance with them on it. And I did some other things, too, with that particular play. And the kids got a real kick out of it. I mean, they enjoyed it. I wasn't really trying to fool anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I was just trying to make it more exciting for the kids.
Right.
You know, and to make it exciting. And I do, I film all the local plays, Stage West Theater Company, and there's a couple of other plays. And we film some plays in Aberdeen from Driftwood Players. And I always try to make it special. I always try to add little special things just to make the players feel good. They don't get paid for doing that. So, you know, anytime you can make them feel good or make them look good, you know, it's a benefit. And I'm not charging anybody for it. I do it for free. They don't have to pay me. Unless they want to buy DVDs, because it costs money to produce those.
Right.
But I sell them pretty much at cost. Yeah. And but the point is that even a guy, an amateur guy like me, can use video. I use a $79 video editing program, you know, that I download from, online. And so it's not, you don't have to invest a lot of money in it. And you can do a lot of things with it. I mean, you can make things look different than from what they really are. And that's what, you know, you have to remember that these reality shows, they probably shoot for a 30-minute show, they probably shoot a couple hundred hours of video. And so they can make it look like anything. I mean, they can make it, they can manipulate these scenes and make it more dramatic. They can make it look like something somebody said in a different scene could actually be added to another scene to make it look like something that it isn't. You find this on shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
They do that a lot. What was the guy? The old guys with the beard. Duck Dynasty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that when they picked up those guys to do the show, They were clean shaven, were wearing suits.
Attorneys and stuff, right?
Yeah, they were. They looked like Wall Street guys.
Right.
But they were turned into actors to produce the show. And everybody bought it. Everybody bought it.
And now they're billionaires.
And now they're billionaires. Now they're not billionaires, but they're millionaires.
Now, you said you're on this show. What did you say it was about?
It's a four-part series on consciousness.
Now, why did they ask you?
Well, because I'm conscious. Because of what I talked about on the show is my near-death experience and how I learned about things like group consciousness and global consciousness and universal consciousness. And I talked about the sharing of energy that is a way of sharing our consciousness. Energy has information in it, and we share that. It connects us. So if I was really willing to take the time to use all my brain power, which I could do if I wanted, I could probably communicate with people all over the world. I could probably hear their conversations. This is the premise of, what do they call it? Now I can't remember.
Remote viewing?
Remote viewing, that's it. That's the whole premise behind remote viewing, is that you train your mind to connect to that energy, then you can go to a certain place and you can listen in. If people want to know about remote viewing, there's actually a lot of good books written about it. The one I like the most is called The Psychic Warrior. And it's really a good book, and it will explain a lot about what remote viewing is and why the government doesn't do it anymore and why it was so difficult. There are some side effects to doing this, but it can be done. I mean, we can connect with one another. As we become more enlightened as human beings, we're going to find that it becomes easier and easier to make this psychic or energy connection, this group consciousness, this awareness of everyone around us. It doesn't mean you can read people's minds. It just means that you have an awareness of them and what they're doing. So this is why research, fact-finding, all of this is so important, because it's important that we learn how to understand the truth. Even though people embellish the truth, there is some truth within it. And I know people embellish their near-death experiences because I've been around people from 30 years ago that were telling a story. And I listen to them telling the same story today, and it's very different. But it still has the common threads. Even my own story changes a little bit over time just because I'm a human being and, you know, I find better ways to deliver the story.
You're a liar.
But it's not a lie. It's not it's not a deliberate deception. You know, it's just an embellishment of the truth.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to listen to past episodes or re-listen to this kooky episode or yell at Billy for his New Age TUI, log on to strangeharbor.net.
And stay safe.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Aliens, Sasquatch, All Things Strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.